Amen. Well, I want to think tonight, just in the short time we have in a devotional way, of verse 7, and the peace of God which passeth all understanding shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. We could call this tonight God's unfathomable peace. Unfathomable, that means something that we just can't quite plumb. We can't get the depth of it. We can't get the understanding of it. You could say incomprehensible, but that means not quite what the word means here. Incomprehensible means it's not possible to understand it at all. And yes, we don't understand it fully, but I think unfathomable, the peace of a believer. Unfathomable. You can't measure it. Well, Paul is drawing this letter to a close. He says at the beginning of verse 1, stand fast, stand firm. How are you going to stand, you believers at Philippi? How are you going to be firm in your faith? All of us from time to time, we feel as though we're slipping. We feel as though we're sliding on ice. We're not quite sure of our footing. We have days, maybe weeks, when it feels the Lord is far away. And he says, so stand fast in the Lord. This is what we must do. We don't wait for the Lord to keep us. We have a duty ourselves. Stand fast. This is an imperative. It's a command. Stand firm in the Lord, my dearly beloved. That's his affectionate term for these believers here at Philippi. So we must stand firm. Well, three secrets are given in verse 4. If you want to know how to stand firm, if you want to have true blessing and happiness and the smile of God in your life, well, he tells you three things. Verse 4, joy. Let joy reign in your hearts. Find reasons to be cheerful. We can often find it the other way round. I often say this as parents. We find 9 things bad for 1 good. It should be the other way round. As church members, we need to find 9 things good for 1 thing that concerns us. Rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. Find joy in everything, even in trial. That's the first secret to true blessedness. The second one, verse 5, I've spoken about this before. Let your moderation, you could translate that word, sweet reasonableness. Hendrickson calls it, let your big-heartedness. When you're speaking to other believers, when you're speaking to neighbours, do you have a big heart? Or are we small-hearted? If you want to have the secret to true blessing, let your sweet reasonableness, your big-heartedness, be known unto all men. Notice it says in the previous verse, joy always, no exceptions. Let your sweet reasonableness be known unto all men, no exceptions. The Lord is at hand. So that's the second thing. We are to have joy always, big-heartedness to all people. And then verse 6, well-known verse. Be careful for nothing. He's using extremes. Be anxious about nothing. Don't fret. Don't be worried. Don't be anxious for anything, no exceptions, but in everything by prayer. So here's the third secret, prayerful trust. Do we have that? In trial, in difficulty, when things are not quite going right. One of those days where the washing machine breaks, the fridge breaks, and everything goes wrong. The car breaks, all on the same day. Prayerful trust. Be anxious for nothing. It will get sorted. May not be today. It will get sorted. Prayerful trust. Don't be anxious about the decor at home. Don't be anxious about little things, the shopping. Don't worry about these things. Let your requests be made known unto God. So the three secrets of true blessing. But here's the verse, that's just the context. If you followed those three principles, well, what's the result? Here's the result in verse 7. You will know the peace of God, the believer's special privilege, peace in the heart. The world knows nothing about it. You're in the workplace and people look at you and say, why is he or she like a swan gliding on the water? I'm sure it's not always like that. But that's how we should be, the peace of God. The peace of God which passes all understanding. This is a unique peace. Only God can give it. You can't manufacture it. You can't buy it. You can't put it on. It's the peace of God. It's given. And the peace of God, this is a sweet peace. It's a peace that doesn't have bitterness. The peace of God, such joy and contentedness within the soul. It's called the smile of God. When we know that we're in the will of God, when we know we're right with God, our sin has been confessed, our sin to others, any fault that we've been responsible for and perhaps even not responsible for, we've gone and acknowledged it. That's the peace of God, a sweet peace, a unique peace, and it's always founded on grace. You don't need to turn to it, but Paul nearly always starts his letters with peace following grace. Colossians 1 verse 2 is the same as Philippians 1 verse 2. Grace be unto you and peace. You don't know this peace, I don't know this peace, unless it's built on the foundation of grace. And grace is given. Grace is God's gift to us at Christ's rich expense. Well, this peace has been called the heart's calm after Calvary's storm. I say that again. This peace is the heart's calm after Calvary's storm. We only know this peace because Christ took the storm and was in the storm and was in the darkness of Calvary so that we could have free, sovereign grace. And it's as a result of that that our heart can know calm, peace with God. Well, what is this peace? The peace of God which passes all understanding. You can't use human reason to describe it. It's unfathomable. You can't get to the bottom of it. Why does that man or woman, weeks away from death, knowing that their life is to end, why do they have such a serenity? Because they have peace with God. Somebody's been bereaved. We have a dear man in our fellowship, recently bereaved. Such peace, contentedness. It's because the Lord has given it. Well, undescribable, unfathomable peace. It passes all understanding. What does this peace do? It says, the peace of God which passes all understanding shall keep. This is a military term. It's literally to keep watch. It's used in the New Testament of a garrison guarding a king or guarding a palace. This peace will keep your soul. It will protect it. It will keep your heart. It will keep your mind. This peace, it protects, it gives stability, it gives a settled disposition. We don't need to worry about anything. We don't need to have anything other than joy. It's our failing when we're not consumed with joy and when we're concerned about too many things. Well, this is a peace that protects. That's what somebody that is a soldier guarding over a castle or a king, that's what they do. They protect. They stabilize. Those inside the castle have comfort because they know that they're being protected and guarded. And this kind of peace, it nurtures. It enables us to grow. Well, how does this peace operate? Well, at the end of the verse, it keeps your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. The way that the Christian life works is truth comes into the mind, and then the truth is applied to the heart. So it deliberately says heart and mind through Christ Jesus. That's the Christian life in a nutshell. We've been saved, we've known grace, and then we receive peace. And that peace, which is God's work, will keep our mind and keep our heart. Well, is there anything for us to do? Do we just wait for this magic spell to come across us? Do we just pray and expect everything to happen? Well, there's a lovely verse. I'm sure you know this. Isaiah chapter 26, verse 3. Just turn to that if you've got it open. It would be helpful. Isaiah 26, verse 3. This describes this peace perfectly and the two-way flow in which it works. Isaiah 26, verse 3. Thou, who does it? God does it. Thou wilt keep him. Who? The believer. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace. Do we have to do something? Whose mind is stayed on thee. You see, the believer only has peace when we're actively using our minds to think of Christ, to think of his finished work on the cross, to think of the certain victory that he's already accomplished, to think of his many and precious promises. And as that truth goes into our mind and we memorize it and remind ourselves on it, the person whose mind is stayed on thee is kept. It works both ways. God does the keeping, but he keeps those whose minds are upon Christ, upon his word, upon his truth. Why? Well, it says at the end of the verse, because we trust. You see, there is a responsibility for us. This kind of peace is not something in a bottle or in a spell. There's an obligation. We're to use the truth. We're to trust the truth. We're to remind ourselves of the truth. We're to apply it to our heart. We're to memorize it, to put it into practice. I'm feeling anxious one day. Oh, there's too many things. They're going wrong. I put my mind on the Lord, and the Lord gives me peace because my mind is set, stayed. It won't move. It's fixed on thee. Why? Because he trusteth in thee. Who does the keeping? Is it me? Do I do it? No. The Lord does it, but he only does it for those who are actively involved in pursuing peace and having our minds in the right place, on the right person, on the right promises, and then he keeps us. What a glorious verse. And the peace, back to Philippians 4, the peace of God, which is unfathomable. You can't measure it. You can't quite grasp it. Shall keep, it's definite, your hearts and minds, the two work together, truth to the mind, into the heart. How? Through Christ. What's the focus to be? Christ. Christ. His life, his manner, his method, his work, his promises, his teaching, everything should be through the Lord Jesus Christ. When we exercise faith, when our hearts are settled on Christ, then he will do the keeping and he will give us that peace which is unspeakable, full of glory. Well, these are wonderful things. That's the secrets which Paul outlines. Joy must continue. Rejoicing always. Big-heartedness, and then prayer and everything, and the result is peace. It's not a formula as such, but it's principles that we must follow. If we follow those three principles, the result will be peace, and our minds will be settled, and anxiety will subside. Yes, some are afflicted with anxiety sometimes. We understand that. Difficulties happen in life. But here's Paul telling the believers how they're to deal with everyday troubles. We sang the hymn, "My faith looks up to thee." That's what this verse that we've just read is about, looking to the Lord in faith and having our heart and our mind set upon him. God's unfathomable peace.